Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Tonight, President Akufo-Addo has for the first time admitted to the challenges in the energy sector that has conspired to ensure that many Ghanaians sleep in darkness without electricity, which sometimes will happen for days. He was speaking today at the recommissioning of the Ameripar plant, which is now called Kumasi One Thermal Plant in the Ashanti region.
The areas of power generation, transmission and distribution, my government has made and continues to make significant investments towards the provision of reliable and competitively priced electricity to assure economic growth. This is part of our commitment to realizing the 2030 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. I do acknowledge Regional Minister, Minister for Energy, ladies and gentlemen, and Nananom, the challenges that the people of Ashanti and indeed of other parts of the country have had to endure in very recent times over the supply of power. And I can only thank you for the patience you have exhibited in the face of these challenges.
He also laid out government's plan to extend access to electricity.
As the Ghanaian people have in clear and absolute terms demanded results that will transform the country for all. One such commitment is the delivery of affordable and reliable electricity to drive our nation's industrialization agenda and position Ghana to become a net exporter of electricity in the ECOWAS region. Our national electrification rate of 88.8% is one of the highest on the continent. And the goal is to have full electricity access by the end of this year.
I'll take you to the Ashanti Regional Capital, where the commissioning has been happening in the last few minutes. And as you know, it also turned into some sort of a campaign rally. After all, this year is an election year. I want to bring in right now Nana Bwachi Yadom, who has been covering this for us. Nana, thanks for your time. And you've been there on the ground. The energy minister was on his feet while introducing the president. And it was clear, was it not, that he's expecting that the people of the Ashanti region will reward the president's party for bringing the Ameri plant to the Ashanti region?
Well, Evans, clearly that is what the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Poku-Prempeh, said when he was delivering his speech at the commissioning of the Kumasi One Thermal Power Plant here at Awomasu in the Ashanti region. He has been touting the achievements of President Akufo-Addo in every sector, especially in his sector, that is the energy sector, with regards to what the president has been doing to ensure that there's stable electricity, especially with the establishment of this K1 TPP, the rebranded Ameri plant, which was moved from Takrade to Awomasu here in the Ashanti region. He says that the people of Kumasi and the people of Ashanti region, the people of Ghana, should reward President Akufo-Addo for all that he has done for Ghana, but what he has done to keep our lights on in the past 7 years, although there have been some intermittent power cuts. And he's hopeful that in the coming days and in the coming weeks, President Akufo-Addo and then he himself, the energy minister, and his ministry will be putting measures in place to make sure that we have stable electricity, and also which will lead to the people giving President Akufo-Addo and his party, especially Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, another term to lead the country.
Now, we're glad you're here, sir. You're here, I'm abaye betwe na na no da kwa ku for do party no as I divo ka se o se ade your party dia ya dem wa na ya dai e ko mutio omo mu ka bi ni nyina se be e kwa ko ya se aye mpo twa ni adidi atem adesa na na do da kwa ku for do abaye we wa santi mem no kre onya santi ni eso so enye obi bibi ni obi o obi bibi ni dey me say me ba enye asese mra na da hoda da 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 ni sise ye na to se dabi ye beye dabi ye beye dabi dabi ye fa nko aware ye bebo a de de ne ho enso a o baba fi abesre enye ye dey o do ba ma na we dey e wa na na ku fu adu asese ne ho what in anuaka was in the book abba abba sempa you for say me kain me pese me ye.
And that there is the energy minister speaking at this event where the government recommissioned the Ameripar plant. And I still have with me my colleague, and what you've just been listening there is the energy minister asking the people of the Ashanti region to vote for the MPP because of what the president had done by supervising this relocation of the Ameripar plant to the Ashanti regional capital. And Nana, what has been the reaction to all this?
Well, Evans, the people did receive the message well. They gave the energy minister a round of applause. They have been so excited, especially the people of Aoma, so with the commissioning of this new thermal power plant in the Aoma, so and the Ashanti region. And so with the energy minister's remarks, the people were excited. They received it with so much excitement, I must say.
Thank you very much. I want to bring in right now MP for Sekendi and former Deputy Energy Minister Andy Jepamesa. It was during his time that a lot of work was done in getting the infrastructure in place for this particular plant to of course, bring in power into the national grid. I want to bring him on right now. Thank you very much, Andy Jepamesa, for your time here on Top Story.
My pleasure, Ivan.
And as you now know, this is now active. But how much of a difference is it going to make to the power situation in the country? You still will need to supply that plant with gas. And we know that has been a challenge recently.
Well, let me say good evening to your cherished viewers. Listeners, my apologies. And to indicate that if you heard the energy minister quite clearly, there was some great studies that was done in 2014, which then indicated the need for us to build another power enclave in the middle belt, okay? Because presently we have, if you like, three power enclaves. One in the western region, Abuazi, one in the Tema enclave, and of course, Akosombo. So when the plants that were procured under the Ameri transaction, under a BOOT transaction, was paid for in 2021, and the plants were then transferred to the government of Ghana, the ministry, with approval from His Excellency the President, of course, decided to actualize that great studies that have been done and the outcome that had been generated to move six of those plants initially. In fact, it was originally to move all the 10. And subsequently, VRA then indicated that they wanted to use four of the plants to repower T3, which is some plant that is located in Abuazi enclave that had an issue when it was being commissioned. Okay, so the whole rationale of moving the plants into the Ashanti region is one, to create a power enclave in the middle belt to help in grid stability and transmission reliability. As obviously, that then becomes what the immediate benefits of those movement of those plants to Kumasi then achieves. It will help in improving transmission reliability and also grid stability.
So fundamentally,
on the gas front,
I mean, I'll come to the gas a bit because of the subject of the relocation, though. We just had the minister make a point about vote for the MPP. Fundamentally, just moved it from one location to the another, a plan that you didn't procure, that the NDC did, that you vilified them for. What's the achievement in this that requires that you are voted for?
Well, Okay, so for starters, we always say that we have excess capacity, right? And people doubt us. But this plant in itself demonstrates clearly the excess capacity that we have within the power system. Why? Because when the BOOT end date occurred in February, March of 2021, we have never turned on those plants to generate power in this country till today. So, are you going to leave it living, sitting idle forever? No, because you paid for it as a country. And so if there is already an existing study that goes to say that build a new power enclave in the Middle Belt, then it makes sense to deploy those plants to Kumasi to then begin the process of achieving that objective. Obviously, this is not the only one. We have contracted AXA 350 megawatts that will come on stream in 2027-2028, which is going to be part of this plant. Senate is also having discussions with government to move the plants that are sitting in the power enclave to Awomaso.
Andy, okay. Andy,
so to suggest that moving it from one location to the other, really, I fail to see how that is relevant. The criticism that the NPP, if I recall quite clearly, made against this plan was that it was established that buying these plants actually from the manufacturers was going to cost us way less than the arrangement that Mr. Mahama and his government had gone into this, the African Middle East company that was incorporated only a month or so before the transaction was consummated, than buying it from the original equipment manufacturers. And that's a matter of fact. That cannot be debated. But that said, government of Ghana has actually paid for the plant over the 5 years. The transaction has been consummated. The transfer has been effected. And because we didn't have a need for it, kept it, and now we moved it to make sure that we build the power enclave in the central belt of our country.
But Andy Ajapamesa, keeping them honest, even the idea of relocating some of these plants, in fact, moving plants to the middle belt, was hatched under the NDC administration in 2014. This is not your original idea. You just implemented a plan that has been on the books for a long, long time.
But so then again, you say government is a continuum, right? And what do you mean by NDC idea? I said GRIDCO is not a political party organization.
Yes, yeah, but the plan was hatched.
It's the national transmission.
The plan was hatched by GRIDCO. Under an NDC plan, administration, which is an important point.
It's neither here nor there. The point is, there was a plan to do it in the future. As to when, I don't know.
Yeah, which is what you've implemented.
Say it again.
Which is what you have implemented.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but then you listen to the energy minister. They're making a big deal of this and using it as a basis to campaign for votes for the party.
It is not a big deal that the objective of building a power plant, a power enclave in the Ashanti region has been actualized, or the process has actually commenced. It's not a big deal.
If it's a big deal, then a greater credit goes to the NDC. You disagree?
Well, you can choose to credit whoever. But the point is, NDC procured these plants for almost $200 million more than if they had purchased it from General Electric. True or false? And I want to know.
Well,
I'm sure you read the story that the Norwegian paper published that clearly showed that this transaction was shrouded in some corruption.
Yeah, but your government, of Ghana. Your government investigated these individuals. In fact, we've heard this week from Dr. Kwabena Dunko that his home was raided. If you found anything close to corruption, you should be prosecuting them by now. One of them should be behind bars.
You see, these items are procured, are sold off the shelf. Okay? And we all know the shelf price of these assets. Okay? And so, yes, if you decide to buy it from a third-party middleman, as opposed to going to the original equipment manufacturer to acquire those plants from, you can calculate the loss or savings that you make from these two sources. Correct?
And you say we made a loss.
But is it not obvious that we made a loss as a country?
But my question to
that
you is...
Equipment that were, were sold originally...
Well, but my question to you is...
$250 million, we bought it for $550
million. Well, if you insist...
Is it not obvious to you?
If you insist we made a loss and you've used the word corruption, you've had a lot of time, 7 years now, to investigate and prosecute those involved. You haven't done so.
Of course. It's not everything that you are in a position to prove.
Then you're not entitled to make the point about corruption and loss if you're not prepared to prosecute. Then you don't have the evidence.
Look, it's not a question of having the evidence or not. The most important thing is this, that the good people of this country appreciate, and I'm sure you appreciate, that these equipment, in fact, were sold by Sheikh for $250 million. We bought them for $550. It's not obvious to anybody that there was something wrong with it. But yes, you signed a contract with a third party that you procured it from. I cannot establish whether Mr. A or Mr. B got some financial benefit through that transaction for me to go to court and prove. But I'm saying that on the face of it, the good people of this country appreciate the loss that we made. But that said, the equipment has been procured. It's been, the people have owned, operated it, and transferred it after 5 years. Do we put it to use or not?
Well, you've decided to put it to use. The question about
Absolutely.
Gas... Deciding
to put it to use should not be made a big deal because we criticized the acquisition that it was expensive and that we could have gotten it for less.
Address the issue about gas for me now, because yes, you've moved it now, but if you can find the gas to power it, it will still underperform. What's the structure there to do this? Because the existing plants are struggling to give us full
capacity.
I'm
not sure whether it's a question of whether we'll find gas or not.
The money to buy the gas.
Hold on. I'll deal with it. We move gas from the west to the east through the West African Gas Pipeline reverse flow system, right? It comes as a cost to us. Now, this pipeline has been built by private sector, and they are being paid with a discounted gas by GMPC. GMPC has then reserved capacity on that pipeline to transport their own gas for free. So if for nothing at all, moving these plants to Kumasi means that we can transport the gas and not pay for it to Kumasi to power the plants. That's one. Two, we've already had conversations with the Nigerians to increase the gas flow that we get from Nigeria. There are technical issues if we move gas from the west to the east, that then goes into Tema, and at the same time receive gas from Nigeria in the volumes that we are looking for. Okay? And so freeing the gas that then goes from west to east and rather move it to the middle belt then allows us to have the capacity to receive more gas from Nigeria to enable us to resolve some of the problems that we are facing.
And we have the money for this, because it's fundamentally a case of, yes, you've negotiated more gas from Nigeria, but you have the money to pay for it?
Well, the arrangements that have been put in place as between the Ministry of Energy, Ministry of Finance, and the cash waterfall mechanism is for ACG to collect at least 1.3 billion cedis a month, of which 300 million will be set aside to pay for any incremental fuel that we are going to contract, and the 1 billion shared amongst the cash waterfall beneficiaries. And we believe that that would work, that will enable us to have the flows to enable us pay for the additional gas and other alternative fuels that will be required to ensure that we provide electricity for the good people of our country.
And Mr. Stay with me. I want to bring in Dr. Steve Mattia. He's a co-chair of the Ghana Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative and a policy analyst with a lot of expertise in this area. Dr. Mattia, on this Ameri plant relocation has been commissioned today. Were they making the significant difference within the context of the challenges that the system is currently facing with the supply of adequate gas? The president has been acknowledging the challenges today, thanking Ghanaians for bearing with the government while they try and resolve this matter. Now you have another plant that has been dormant for a while coming in and contributing to the national grid. But do we have the resources to provide the gas for it to indeed contribute its at full capacity?
That is a big question. events. Of course, there must be some strategic rationale for relocating Ameri. Come to think of it, sometimes it's uncomfortable that all our generation plants, thermal generation plants, are located in the south. And so should anything happen, then of course we could be in serious jeopardy. So spreading our generation plants across the country strategically for me makes sense. But the challenges that confront the energy sector today is lack of finance to procure fuel, hence generation shortfall, and therefore having to ration power. But because we have so much politicized the energy sector, the sitting government is uncomfortable admitting that we are yet again in doomso. Because the president has told Ghanaians that he leaves that title, that doomso title, to former President Mahama. And having said that, just a couple of months ago, it becomes difficult to admit that we are where we were in 2015. But if we don't confront this politicization of the energy sector head on, we will never be able to resolve the problems of the sector. For instance, why should politicians be taking credit for work done by a technocratic institution like DRE? If you have state-owned enterprises, they are supposed to be companies, and they do their work as expected of them. And then you have politicians taking credit for the work done by a company. If it is not the politicization of these institutions, what else could that be?
And today, the president even gave us a bit more detail on this. In fact, the entire relocation and the putting in place infrastructure was solely funded by VRA.
Yeah. So GRA was set up to do these kinds of things, and they are doing it. So why should politicians be dancing around and making fanfare of it? I don't understand it. You see, we used to be in this situation years back with Ghana Commercial Bank then. Today is BCB. And it led to overexposure of the bank to the extent that the bank was brought on its knees and government had to take a decision to privatize BCB. Because government was directing where loans should go. And loans, credit facilities were established beyond the capability and capacity of GCB to Temawayong Refinery. In the end, we came to the brink of collapse of both Temawayong Refinery and GCB. I mean, it's high time politicians wash their hands of the operations of state enterprises. We've had enough of that. Look at GMPC, same problem. Politicization of that institution to the extent that workers' morale today is so low in that corporation. I think time has come for us to see how we dilute government's control over state enterprises. We've done that with Goil, we've done that with SIC, we've done that with Ghana Commercial Bank, and it's working perfectly. We have a template. Let's follow it.
Andy Japa Mesa, fair point. Hello, Mr. Mesa.
Yes, I'm here.
It's a fair point.
Well, to the extent that private control, if you like, or privatization has helped in sanitizing some of our state-owned institutions and their performance, I do not have any objection to his comments. But you see, if you say that state institutions have been set up to perform a certain function, and if they perform it, politicians should not take credit, then it stands to reason that when they do not perform, you should not hold the politicians accountable too. Is that what he's suggesting? Because we know that Greco VRA, ECG, they are all state-owned and enterprises, right? And they have all been set up to perform their functions. But today, you are blaming the politicians for the outages in the energy sector, right? So really, we can't have it both ways.
But should the politicians take credit for the work of the technical
engineers? But if we take the blame, we shouldn't take the credit.
If
the politicians take the blame, then it stands to reason that they must take the credit too.
But remember the principle. Remember the principle you threw at me when I raised the 2014 plan to relocate. You said it was a GridCo initiative, and it's not an NDC government initiative.
I said that there was a grid study that had been done in 2014. So it was as a result of that grid study that then established the need for us to build a third, or if you like, a fourth power enclave in the Middle Belt.
Yeah, but the substantive point you made was that the credit should not go to the government, the NDC.
As to whether, but of course, it's taken how many years for it to be done? How many years has it taken? So I don't have any problem at all if we want the institutions of state to take credit. All I'm saying is that equally, we should let them take the blame then if the issues come up and not blame the politicians. I think the politicians have appointed people to man these organizations, and they are the ones that Ghanaians hold accountable. Then, and of course, are saddled or blamed for issues that come up when they are issues. Then they must take credit when they are able to put in some of these things through the people that they've appointed to ensure that the country's economy runs smoothly. Okay, so really, that's what I think should be the case.
And there's a substantive point that also came today. I want to shift focus slightly because we also heard from Otunfo. After all, this was happening in the Ashanti region. And he challenged the government on the issue of the competence of the state agencies in this particular area of electricity supply, the entire value chain. He believes they're competent and that you should privatize them and leave them to do their jobs, and government should simply stay out of the way. Whilst we're now talking about politicians taking credit, I want you to listen to Otunfo's point, and then we can discuss.
I agree with you that government should be looking at politicians instead of being involved in industry and everything. It doesn't work.
So,
and it's about time Ghana realizes that it's not going to work for government to be involved in setting up companies and all those things. It doesn't work.
So,
government should be contained with policies, and then private sector should be involved in setting up industries and everything.
So,
it works that way, and therefore you can attract more investment to come to the country, and it creates more employment. VRA and others are all government establishments. Let's give it out and divest to public sector, private sector, and then we inject money in there.
So,
and get the right people to do it.
So,
GridCo and others and all are all for private sector. Let's give them the money, get the qualified people, divest government from it, and let them do it.
So,
other than that, electricity company is in a situation where we don't know, but that also must be divested and give it to private sector.
So,
why are we still holding it where we don't have the money?
So,
we are not even able to collect all the taxes that we want.
So,
we are going to IMF for money and all those things.
No.
We are hanging on to industries that we cannot maintain and run.
So,
look, it's about time we face realities and then decided on what government should be doing and what private sector should be doing. This is a testimony of private sector. And they were able to attract Oppenheimer. His family has all the money in South Africa. They were able to attract him to come here. Because he believed in private sector. And they've done it in various countries in Africa.
So
that is how we have to be looking at it, to attract more of these investments into the private sector so we can do it.
So
my son here, when he was Nanyangu, was saying that those small generators and all those are given to we and all those, go and review the policy and let the government know how to go about it.
I mean, Dr. Matthew, do you agree with the Otunfo?
Yes, to some extent I agree with the Otunfo Nana Santehime, that we need to begin to depoliticize and get the private sector to play some role. But talking about privatization. I make the point that not all privatizations inure to the benefits of the people and of the state.